WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Can't get any better than that. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome into the Low Tide here on 90.7 The Capstone. It's good to be back. It's a little heartwarming. The only thing that was a little more heartwarming was watching A&M lose to the Dallas Cowboys of college football at home. As always, joined by Adam Hambright. How are we doing?
I'm okay. You know, we're early. You know, first episode. You know, we haven't had, you know, a whole lot of, you know, football to kind of see exactly how the season's going to go yet, but all the other sports on campus that I've been to, you know, we've had some good results so far, so I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And joined for the first time by Mr. Elliot Miller. How are we doing?
You know, I usually, like, I start off with, like, a different word every week. I think this week I'm gonna go with whimsical. Okay, whimsical. I'm feeling whimsical today.
Okay, can you explain?
You know, it's just a great week. Hey, this is the first time on this show, new day. Okay, right? I mean, things are looking up. And of course, as a College Station resident, it does warm my heart to see the city of College Station just fall to its knees. So I can't complain.
You gotta love it. Well, it wouldn't be an Alabama show if we didn't immediately talk about Alabama football, would it? Alabama, the start of the Kalen DeBoer era, get the win at home 63-0 over the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Western Kentucky featuring a known foe of the Crimson Tide and TJ Finley, who had some comments before the game. How do we feel about that going in?
You know, I just don't understand. I mean, it's not everybody. The first thing that pops into my mind was, I'm trying to remember the year. Maybe it was 2017 when the Vanderbilt player, you know, said that Alabama was next on the schedule, and then Alabama won that game by about 60. This game, TJ Finley, obviously he played at Auburn and LSU, and before this game, he had said in one comment how, you know, we're going to show them, even if we win or lose, that this isn't the same Western Kentucky team, and Alabama's not the same team either. But then he also went on another podcast and said how, you know, he's thrown for 150 yards every time he's played against Alabama, because that's something. And this game, he goes out there, 18 to 31, 92 yards, two interceptions before he's taken out in the second quarter. Alabama, obviously not the same team. A lot of people left. A lot of people came in, transfer portal, recruit-wise. And, you know, they showed, you know, they're not the same team. Whole new coaching staff, too. But they might be better.
Okay. I mean, if we're going to talk about TJ Finley's comments, I just, like, the only thing I'm going to say is saying that I've thrown for 150 yards against a team is just really not the flex that you think it is. It's not, like, that impressive. And then if you're going to follow that up with only throwing for 92 yards and then a couple of picks, which both of which came in the first quarter, I am, like, 90% sure. So, like,
to the same guy.
To the exact same person. So, like, I don't really know, like, you can justify, like, making a statement like that and then following up with an even more atrocious stat line than that.
Yeah, tough performance for Mr. Finley. Did you know that he has lost to Alabama three separate times on three separate teams?
Oh. And just think, if he hadn't have gone to Texas State, you know, it could have been four, you know, if he chose to go to South Florida or somebody.
Well, I'm sure he can scratch out, like, another year of eligibility at a different place.
Yeah, somewhere. Someone from Miami would have something to say. As far as getting another year of eligibility. Anyway, you know, this was a very interesting game, obviously the start of a new era for Kalen DeBoer. I would be interested to hear, what was your biggest takeaway from this game, from this first performance of the Kalen DeBoer era?
I was pleasantly surprised with the defense. I thought my biggest concern with the new Kalen DeBoer, like, look was the fact that the defense was going to take a hit. Quite honestly, I actually thought that they took a step forwards instead of a step back. But on the flip side, I guess another takeaway I had, the offensive line still has a couple of screwy things that I think need to be ironed out. Now, granted, it's just the first game. Could be just first game jitters, right? But there were, like, a few snaps in there, a couple poor protections early on, and that kind of made me feel a little uneasy offensively. It kind of felt like we were, obviously you want to take advantage of short field situations, blown coverages. That's where a lot of those points came off of. but you don't want to exclusively be relying on the fact that I have the ball on like the opponent 20-yard line, and that's going to be an easy, guaranteed field goal, essentially. Or Ryan Williams literally has nobody within like 20 like yards of him, like wide open down like the right hand side of the field. So I would like to see a little more consistency on the offensive line, but I'm going to reserve judgment until like week four, where I get to see him like more in play.
Yeah, well, it is tough when you have Caden Proctor, who goes out in warmups, comes back onto the field with his arm in a sling. So that's not ideal. You know, you have to throw some different guys in there and get some different looks. But I felt like they handled it pretty well, you know, given everything that happened. Crazy thing to me, so there was all that delay right before the game, about 5 minutes, you know, before the ball was actually snapped for the first time. Everybody thought it was something to do with the in-helmet communications. DeBoer actually said after the game that Western Kentucky's headsets, as in the headsets that go up to the box to talk to the offensive defense coordinators, weren't working. So Alabama also had to disable theirs, which means that Nick Sheridan, who was sitting in the box, had to run down to the field and apparently was not calling the plays for the first drive, which I would presume that the first drive is scripted, but, you know, that made things a little clearer to me. I don't know that I've ever seen that. And he said it happened again later in the game. So he said he's never seen this before in all his years. It's pretty wild to me.
Well, maybe, you know, if that hadn't happened, you know, maybe Alabama doesn't win 63-0. Western Kentucky might have got, you know, a field goal or two.
63-3 sounds a lot better on paper than 63-0.
You know, obviously we didn't have a show before this game, but I was making predictions with my family members. I had said 62-3. It ended up being 63-0. So I was off a little bit. I did kind of change it during the game. Once we were getting up there, I wanted 70. You know, I saw how Tennessee had scored 69 in their game against Chattanooga. I wanted one more point than them. And, you know, 63 is nothing to scoff at. But to answer your question before about, you know, just what we were, you know, what our biggest takeaway, you know, what we really enjoyed about this game, I'm like Elliot, you know, I really like that defense. You know, with Coach Womack, when he came in, you know, he changed up a lot of things, and when he was talking about it, he said that he wanted to make it, you know, not as challenging for the defensive backs to kind of grasp what was going on, just a very, you know, keep it simple style defense. And at least for the first game, I know it's Western Kentucky, but a shutout's a shutout. It's the first, I believe it's the first debut shutout for a coach since Wallace Wade, like back in the 20s. If you can get a shutout against anybody, that's good, especially when you're up on a team 63-0, being able to keep that, you know, constant pressure on a team to not allow them to score. We've seen it many years in many games in the past couple of years, how, you know, once we would get up by a lot, the other team would come out with a touchdown or a field goal late in the game to take that shutout away. And then I really liked, you know, just the explosiveness from everybody. Like, obviously, defensive players, they showed a lot of speed. Offensively, you know, all the running backs, you know, they ended up with 334 rushing yards in the game. Ryan Williams on the outside. We need to see how he does against, you know, a bigger opponent than Western Kentucky. And we're not really going to get – I mean, next week, South Florida, then there's the Wisconsin game. But you're really not going to really know how good, you know, these players are going to be against, you know, elite competition until all of a sudden you're playing the number one team in the nation, and that's Georgia. So hopefully – they kind of, you know, show up when it really matters. The good thing about this year is it's not one game and then all of a sudden you're playing, you know, Texas like last year, and that's when we started seeing the mistakes that got ironed out over the year. But this year they got a couple more warm-up games to kind of work with it.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and one thing I want to say quickly is don't let 63-0 fool you. It's not like Western Kentucky's a terrible team. They're the second favorite to win Conference USA, right behind Liberty, which Liberty's probably a tier above Western Kentucky, but, you know, don't bring that in. And, you know, I'm not super concerned about some of the weird things that we saw, you know, illegal formation penalty, you know, some weird stuff like that, a bunch of holding calls. You know, this offense is so different from anything that I've seen since I got on campus at Alabama. I mean, it's completely different. Now, you know, maybe that's, you know, a certain man who shall not be named, Bill O'Brien, that should be blamed for that. But, you know, I really loved what I saw from the offense. Very innovative, very accurate. You know, I got to give EA props. Very close to what Alabama runs in College Football 25 as far as, you know, getting a lot of motion in this offense. And, you know, that was kind of something that I had noticed on that first drive. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of different formations. You saw a lot of different personnel packages, a lot of different things that, you know, we haven't seen from Alabama in the past. Like one play that specifically sticks out of my mind, they went five wide and then ran a jet touch pass to the running back. Like, you know, you just never – I like to see that this early on. Now, you did kind of notice that after that first drive and they kind of got stalled out, when they got back on the field, things got a lot simpler. You saw a lot of that stuff go away and they score easy. But, you know, that stuff's going to take time. You know, you have to work all that in. Jalen Milroe had to learn a completely new offensive system. It's going to be an adjustment, but I like the fact that they're trying new things. That gives me a lot of hope. And the offense had some firepower, which looked nice.
Yeah, and even with, you know, all these new things we saw, these new formations, you know, the more motion than what we've seen with Bill O'Brien or Tommy Rees last year, they still didn't show too much. You know, it was still a very vanilla offense. Jalen Milroe, I know a couple of times he had to scramble out, but he only had 9 times where the ball left his hand. 7 completions on 9 attempts, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know, they didn't have to try too hard in this game. They didn't have to show too much. And hopefully that works out, you know, down the road when they actually have to pull out some of those secret plays that we know that DeVore's going to have.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, why complicate things if you're able to just, you know, somebody had asked DeVore in the postgame press conference, you know, if he wished he could have seen a couple longer drives, you know, a couple of actual developed drives, because it seemed a lot of the time Alabama scoring 2 or 3 plays, you're not really getting to see how the offense is cooking. But, you know, you can only do so much, you know.
Well, I mean, if it's there for the taking, you might as well score, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to intentionally, like, slow down my offense if, like, the guy is just wide open or something. I'm gonna take that shot. And that's just what it comes down to.
Another thing that I saw that was kind of interesting, you saw Alabama kind of go tempo a couple times. Immediately, the very first time they tried to go tempo, they got a false start. But, you know, could be interesting. We could see some new wrinkles, and I think that's a big thing for me is that we're, you know, showing some uniqueness.
Yeah, I'm fine with them taking – I've been kind of critical sometimes of, like, the stupid penalty stuff. But I think it's okay, especially when you're, like, you're playing, like, kind of not an inferior team, but a team that you are expected to beat by a pretty wide margin. I'm okay with you trying out new things. The illegal formations, obviously, a lot of motion. People are going to screw things up. Holding calls when you're running jet sweeps around that people are going to grab because if they miss their assignment or something, that's fine. I'm totally cool with that. And I think that's, like, to Adam's point here, like, earlier on, like, we have a couple games that you can kind of mess around with. And, like, the thing was last year, okay, Texas is that second game, and you're making those stupid penalties against a team that you cannot make those kind of mistakes against, right?
Yeah.
So I'm totally okay with them getting all these little, like, kinks and stuff out of the way, like, right now. But I really hope that by the time we get to Georgia, that is completely ironed out, and we're not just taking illegal formations, like, willy-nilly because or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And they got the two games. Only one of those on the road with the one at Wisconsin, and then a bye week right before Georgia. So, you know, they got time to work it out.
Which that Wisconsin game could be a little tricky. I mean, that's, you know, that's a road trip pretty early in the season.
You know, I think if you watched any of the Wisconsin game this week, they did not look, you know, as a team that would intimidate Alabama coming in. But that is a very tough place to play, and like we've always seen, everybody shows up for Alabama. So they honestly, you know, they could have fallen victim, you know, to, you know, looking at their schedule, seeing Alabama's, you know, a couple games in, and then kind of overlooking, you know, that early opponent like we always see in college football. So don't just look at how Wisconsin played in their first game and be like Alabama's going to run all over them. I'm hoping that happens, but, you know, it might be a close game.
100%. And we're going to get more into that in our second segment. But before we go to break, who was your one guy who really impressed you out there against Western Kentucky?
I'm put on the spot.
I'm
going to go with the obvious one here. I'm going to go with Ryan Williams. I just think it's kind of crazy that a 17-year-old guy just is torching. Like no matter the level of the opposing team, right? A guy just getting that wide open and then the broken tackle on the second one and everything, keeping that balance. I don't know. It's just impressive. I'm happy that we have like a really – it looks like we have a nice receiving core. You know, so That's it. That's the whole tweet.
You know, I do like that. You know, two catches, 139 yards, two touchdowns. And, you know, one thing we hadn't really seen in previous years was freshmen being able to go on these press conferences. And Ryan Williams, first game, all of a sudden he's out in the press conference and they ask him about it. And 4 + 2 = 6. And I thought that was a great quote. You know, Nick tweeted that out right when it happened. For me, I'll go on for my player. I'll go on the defensive side since you already took Ryan Williams. But Keon Saab, you know, first game, first quarter, two interceptions. And this was a guy that when I was able to watch him, you know, in the spring a little bit, and you saw that the talent was there, but sometimes the effort really wasn't there on every play, as some of the things I got to see him at, not just A-Day. But when it came time for actual game time, you know, he came out, you know, he was in the right place, right time, intercept. He almost took one back to the house. I think he returned it over 60 yards before getting tackled. So hopefully, because everybody knew Malachi Moore, and then Damani, you know, coming in from USC, you know, he wasn't really targeted at all. And then, you know, I know a bunch of people seeing Caleb Downs go, you know, transfer to Ohio State, kind of wondering what that second safety was going to look like when Saab being the transfer from Michigan, and he stuck first game, two interceptions. So hopefully that's a sign of good things to come from the secondary.
Yeah, 100%. Also, on Ryan Williams, did you know that, okay, first off, 17 years old, that's insane. He will not turn 18 until after the national championship game, which is insane. I can't wrap my head around that. Did you know he's not the youngest player in the history of college football? I'll have the answer for you on the other side of the break, but real quick, I got to say, for me, it's Jam Miller and Justice Haynes. I mean, you kind of knew that Alabama was coming into the season with a phenomenal running back duo, and then to watch those two kind of do what they did against Western Kentucky, I mean, just, you know, breaking off crazy long runs, looking very consistent, looked like wasn't really very difficult at all. That's what you love to see, and you hope that you can kind of continue that into the rest of the season, because it just makes everything so much easier. If you can run the ball, opens up everything else.
You know, I'm surprised that nobody went with Graham Nicholson with his 7 extra points, you know, following in the footsteps of Will Reichard. But, you know.
We'll give him a shot on a different day.
Maybe it's a little too early for that. Anyway, we will be right back here on the Low Tide on the other side of this break with our season predictions. Don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. This show is a sports production of WVUAFM 90.7, a division of student media at the University of Alabama. Support us by leaving a review, rating, or following us on X at WVUAFM Sports. Welcome back into the Low Tide here on 90.7 The Capstone. Nicholas, Adam, and Elliot. I don't know why I pump faked. I've got the yips here for a second. It's tough. Kind of like Scotty Scheffler when he shanked that bunker shot.
It's okay. It doesn't still matter.
Won. Yeah, we've been off the air for a while, you know. Maybe next time we should just meet over the summer a couple of times.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you know,
true.
Practice snaps.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of snaps, only one bad snap. Does that worry us at all?
At least it was high and not low.
That's true.
It did give me some flashbacks, but it's okay. I composed myself. I compartmentalized.
It'll be okay. Anyway, we're going to get into some season predictions. We didn't get a chance to do this before the season started, but I feel like, you know, one game in, I feel like we've kind of got the gimme game out
Would
of the way.
Would anybody have picked the Hilltoppers to come into Bryant-Denny?
Well, I'm a big fan of a Big Red, you know. Great mascot.
Yeah, I mean, he did smile at me during the game, so
I wish they would have worn the helmets, you know, that have like Big Red like in the different position groups. Those are so cool. I love those. Anyway, enough Big Red love.
I hope they go 11-1 the rest of the year.
I hope Big Red wins the Conference USA.
Big Red himself, of course.
Just Big Red.
Could he replace TJ Finley? Okay. Let's just get into the schedule. We'll go game by game. We'll kind of talk about each game and we'll save the overall record prediction for the end. Regular season only. Okay. So obviously, next up, South Florida comes to Tuscaloosa. You know, hopefully we aren't going to start a lacrosse player at quarterback, but
I don't think Jalen Milroe's performance in this game constitutes him being benched for whatever reason in this one. So I think we know what's going to happen. I think we know who's going to play. It will be. Have we heard for sure what is wrong with Caden Proctor? That would be the only thing with his arm injury. But you know, I feel like everybody knows what's going to happen in this game. Like we know who's playing. It's at home. It's hopefully not storming the entire time. And I expect Alabama to go out there and actually show South Florida that last year was a fluke, and it's not going to be what was it at halftime last year? It was like 10-0 or something like that. It was miserable to watch. I'm glad I did not make the trip down there for that game. But I don't think we're going to have issues with this game against South Florida.
I have the yips too. I similarly don't have I don't think this is going to be close. If this is anything like last year, I think I might actually have to like think about, am I seeing like flashbacks? You know, you talked about the snap thing earlier in the segment, you know, might actually have to really compartmentalize. I just don't see a world in which South Florida comes into Bryant-Denny and like does like a whole lot. They probably are not going to get shut out, okay? We probably won't score as many points. Maybe it'll be like 56 or like 49 or something, right? But I do expect them. I do expect Alabama to throw a few different looks on offense. I think the drives will probably be a little bit more prolonged. It won't be like 2 plays, 3 plays. I expect them to be more like, you know, 7, 8.
We'll get to 4.
Yeah, we'll get to 4. But I do expect to see some different looks on offense, a couple different looks on defense. But no, still entertaining nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocker. I'm going to go the same way. I mean, I think this is going to be a pretty easy one for Alabama. Obviously, they gave us a great game last season. Maybe not entirely to their credit. But
you know what I will say? And this kind of plays with West Kentucky, too. The West Kentucky and then with South Florida coming up, we might be taking our 63-0 win for granted because there were some games with Fresno State and Michigan. You know, that was a 13-3 game in the third quarter. Oregon had Idaho at home, and they only won by, what was it, 10 or 14? I think it was 24 or 14, I think was the final. So, you know, it could. I'm hoping not, but, you know.
We're just spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah, you could say that. Did you know that South Florida gets the U in week 4? Be a little interesting. The U looking like the favorites in the ACC.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Like the first game against Florida does not move me in any way whatsoever. Like the needle is in the exact same position that
not
it was.
Not a Cam Ward guy.
Fraudulent. I just don't believe in Miami.
Okay.
I just do not think that like Mario Cristobal as a coach is very good. To me, he was never very impressive with Oregon. And then especially after I saw what he did with clock management against Georgia Tech, like, I mean, that is like a fireable offense. I'm sorry. Like,
Wool Creek, before we move on to the next game, who is the best team in Florida?
Florida Atlantic.
UCF.
I would probably go with UCF too.
Although
South
I don't know.
Florida did beat Bethune-Cookman 48-3.
So. I will give, you know, not to go off on too much of a tangent, Cam Ward did look really good.
Yeah. I'm sure he looks fine.
I give him that.
I'm sure Cam Ward is a very good quarterback. Don't get me wrong.
Also, rest in peace, Florida. This might be the worst schedule I've ever seen in my entire life. So, yeah, South Florida. Easy. Next, Wisconsin. Alabama goes on the road to Wisconsin in week 3. Interesting game?
Yes.
I think it'll be close early. I think later Alabama will start to pull away, but I think first game on the road, Camp Randall's going to be rocking. You know, they're going to be excited to have Alabama in there. So it's going to be a tough game, but I think Alabama does pull away later.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of echo a similar sentiment. I think this is going to be in the range of a 10-20-point victory, if I had to guess. This is not going to be like a 3-touchdown like game. This will be like maybe like 15 points probably that separates the two, but probably pulling away late.
Yeah, I think this will be a good game at halftime, not so much at the end. This is going to be a fantastic game to get you prepared for Georgia the next week. or what? They have a bye week.
Yeah, they get the bye week before.
Yeah. Okay. A good game going into the Georgia game. It's a tough place to play. It's going to be good. You love to get a difficult road test early against a team that, you know, will probably be pretty good. So I've got them, you know, probably pretty close at half. Expand on that lead after halftime.
When are we going to disagree on a game?
I would imagine right now.
It's probably this next one.
Number one, Georgia comes to Tuscaloosa. This is the marquee matchup of the year, potential to be the most anticipated college football game of the year, besides, like, you know, A&M Texas.
I'm not anticipating that one.
No.
Well, I think that A&M Texas game will be good. I think it'll be probably break the A&M attendance record. We made that prediction on one of the shows last year.
Hotels have been sold out in Tuscaloosa since this game was announced. This is going to be a wild one.
Yeah, I go back and forth on it. Georgia looked really good, but Clemson also looked really bad in their game. Obviously, Georgia, preseason number one. We know what they got. We know what Kirby Smart's going to bring. It will be interesting to see if their starting running back is suspended for any more than that first game. I think he was only suspended for the first game, but I heard that he might be suspended. I don't really know what's going on with that.
Suspended yet in jersey and pads on the sideline. Yeah. I don't understand that.
Yeah, and then once again, want to see how the offensive line looks by then. You know, going up against, you know, Wisconsin to be a little bit bigger of a test, but also if we see if Caden Proctor is able to be back by then. And, you know, Alabama's been, you know, Georgia's, you know, biggest threat. You know, even the years that they won national champions, like Alabama beat them in the SEC championship and then didn't have to play against them. But then, like, last year, SEC championship again, Alabama won again. New coach, basically a whole new coaching staff. I think this will be a very close game. I do think that the offense that Alabama has now sets them up very nicely because it's different, but it is reminiscent of what Alabama was able to do with Bryce Young and, you know, that team when they, you know, beat Georgia, I think it was 45-24 in that SEC championship game on that one. So I think Alabama's got the chance to kind of expose Georgia's defense in that one.
Okay, so you're going with Alabama on that one.
I'm still debating. I keep going back and forth. Right now, I am leaning Alabama from what I've seen from the offense.
Well, I'm gonna differ then. This is where we'll agree to disagree. I've had this penciled in as a loss from the start, and it's nothing. It's nothing against Alabama, and it's really. I'm not trying to hype up Georgia either. My main thing here is that I think Georgia, despite the new offense, despite whatever new fancy gadgets we may have or what new trick plays are in the playbook, I don't know, you know, pull out a flea flicker or something. I think Kirby Smart and Georgia, they've now seen Jalen Milroe, and I think they will do whatever they can defensively scheme-wise to, like, upset him or, like, just in any way throw him off his game because they'll know what makes him tick. And to me, if Jalen Milroe is off his game in any facet against Georgia, even to the smallest extent, that is what will cause Alabama to lose that game. So I just think that, you know, fool me once. What is it? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I don't remember how it goes. I forgot. Anyway, you get the idea. I'm taking Georgia on that one.
Yeah, this obviously far and away the most difficult game that Alabama has on their schedule this season. It is a good thing that this is at Alabama. That helps a lot. Okay. The over under for this game is 54.5. I would hammer the under. This is going to be a low scoring game, in my opinion. I do not think that Georgia's offense is anywhere near as strong as they were last year. Clemson's defense held up for quite a while. Their run defense looked like they could stick with them until about halftime. But Clemson's offense also just didn't score anywhere near enough. I mean, you cannot. I mean,
you don't think 3 points is enough to beat Georgia?
No. So, it was a very tough scene to watch. Their defense was playing their hearts out, at least in the first half. And then, you know, Georgia just kind of wears you down over the course of the game. That's what better football teams do to you. I think that this is going to be a really low-scoring game. I think Alabama's defense is better than a lot of people expected. It's a team that has a lot of youth that is going to have to play immediately. You know, like, I think you're going to have a lot of guys that have to step up. I think this is going to easily be the biggest test of this new-look Alabama offense. I think they look a little shaky in this game. I think Alabama loses a close one at home, but this is going to be a low-scoring game.
Well, see,
Early score prediction?
You know, here's one thing I will say about the game. You know, Jalen Milroe played very well against Georgia in the first half last year. The second half was when Georgia pretty much shut him down. Alabama just had a good enough lead and was able to hold on. This game, I think the offense has a lot more speed and a lot better weapons than what he had in that game against him last year. And with it being at home, that's why I was leaning.
No, absolutely. That's a completely fair point. I just, to your point there, right? The second half, when they figured out what made him tick, right? That's whenever everything started to shut down.
And Georgia, going into the game, they will also have that bye week. Their two games leading up into it is Tennessee Tech and on the road at Kentucky.
So they might be pretty well rested. Let's just say that.
And as we pointed out, Wisconsin is no walk in the park.
Also, I've just got to say, I think that that game is almost entirely going to be Jalen Milroe dependent. I think if there is a team in college football that can stop Jalen Milroe from being able to use his most deadly weapon, it's probably Georgia. It's very difficult to shut down the Jalen Milroe run. It's just so dangerous. If somebody could do it, it would be Georgia. We're gonna finally have to see, you know, how much has Jalen Milroe progressed in the offseason as far as the passing game in that game. Okay, speed run. We go to Vanderbilt. Alabama at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt take down Virginia Tech in week one?
No. Doesn't move me.
No.
We will establish Bryant Denny North, and it will not be close.
Bryant Denny North is crazy.
It was basically a Virginia Tech home game in that one. If you saw how many Virginia Tech fans were there, and Vanderbilt was able to pull it out, I don't think it's going to happen. I do expect it to be crimson covered up there.
I mean, what was that quote from that one guy? We're going to show him how SEC football is played.
What ball we play.
Yeah, we'll show the even though it's post Georgia and it's like a bloodbath, I'm fairly certain this will be a fairly easy victory for Alabama.
Vanderbilt better hope that Alabama somehow beats Georgia, because if they lose to Georgia, that revenge the next week, it might be ugly. Joyless murder bowl for sure. South Carolina coming to Tuscaloosa.
11 a.m. start. I think Alabama starts off slow, but then it does turn into a pretty decisive victory later.
This is going to be one of those. I'm going to completely agree with you because of the early start. This is going to be one of those, like, I'm going to score 40 points in the second half type of games. Snoozer, Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, 11 a.m. start, is there anything worse? I mean, maybe. Start any early? I don't even think
you can
start.
Well, no, the Thursday night game.
The only way it would be worse if it was in Ireland.
Would you rather have the 11 a.m. game or like the old Pac-12 after dark?
I'd much rather be at the Pac-12 after dark game.
I like night game. And, you know, just not being in the sun. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, 100%. South Carolina, you're not winning this one. It's going to be a slow start. I agree. Alabama travels to currently number 15 Tennessee.
You know, this is the next game that kind of, you know,
makes a potential revenge game, like, for Alabama.
It is, like, obviously Alabama wins last year, but this is the first time going back into Knoxville. Yep. I think that'll carry Alabama in this one. I would like to see more. Obviously, at that point, we'll be able to make a better prediction. I want to see what Tennessee's able to do against teams other than Chattanooga, but their offense looked very good. So I'm still going to pick Alabama in that return to Knoxville game. But I think it'll be close.
Keyword, currently. I think that Tennessee is a good team. I don't think that, I mean, they're not, like, bad or anything. I don't see Alabama, like, slipping up. I mean, I guess you could kind of argue, like, you're a couple games removed from Georgia now, right? And it's, like, relatively, like, not like easy, but like you're playing Vanderbilt and you're playing South Carolina. These are two opponents that, yes, they're SEC opponents, but not as difficult as, let's say, a Tennessee. I think they'll be better rested. I think they'll walk in and beat them in Knoxville.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's going to be a good one. You know, if you're Alabama, you definitely want to get your win back after, you know, the tragic events of two seasons ago. Who knows where that goalpost is at this point. Missouri coming to Tuscaloosa.
I'm still going to take Alabama, but Missouri, I was not sure how good they would be. Obviously, they had a very good year last year. I didn't really know exactly how good they would be, like with who they lost and who was staying and, you know, everything. But they did look very good in that first game. But once again, they haven't really played anybody yet. So with that being at Bryant-Denny, I'm going to go with Alabama.
Yeah, to be determined, same as what Adam said, I'm not really sure how they were going to look against, like, actual SEC play and stuff like that. I still would favor Alabama, even if it was the last Missouri team where they actually win and beat Ohio State. So I'm just going to take Alabama, especially at home.
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to take Alabama again. Going to be a closer game than people think. Missouri is on the come up. Let's just get that out of the way. Alabama goes to LSU. Great road schedule this year.
Yeah, I'm still trying to see if I can get tickets to all these games. They're just a little expensive because of how good these games are. At LSU, I'm only basing this off of the first half against USC, which there is still 7 minutes until halftime, and it is 7-7. I'm going with Alabama. I know it's going to be tough. I know it's going to be, you know, down in Death Valley. We know what happened last time. Loss in overtime, but I think Alabama is able to go in there and handle it this time.
Yeah, the revenge tour kind of goes crazy, doesn't it? Like, I'm not moved by LSU. I'm just going to be honest. Not with losing Jaden Daniels. I thought really felt like Jaden Daniels was the heart and soul of LSU, and that he really willed them to win the games that they did. I personally wouldn't have even ranked them this high. If I was given the opportunity. So I'm going to go with Alabama. I actually don't think this would be that close.
They should still be probably ahead of Florida State. But
Florida State shouldn't be ranked.
Fraudulent. You know, LSU last season just made me feel so bad for Jaden Daniels. I mean, if that defense is slightly better than below average, that's a killer team. Just truly tragic that that defense was as bad as it was. Alabama wins this one. Revenge tour, truly. Mercer. Guys, Alabama's going to struggle. I do not know.
This is a difficult game, man.
I mean,
can we go quickly?
Okay. Yeah, Alabama.
I mean, look, I mean, you know, there's a chance. You know, we do have, you know, what was it, 2 years ago when they had, you know, it was just an ugly game against, like, Austin Peay, and they still won by 30. So, you know.
Give me Alabama. Okay. Yeah, same here. Oklahoma on the road. This is a good one. I'm excited for this one.
This game I'm worried about. This one, with it being, you know, at Norman, it is 1 week before the Iron Bowl. You know, I'm used to Alabama having that FCS opponent and then the Iron Bowl. And I understood if you took the FCS game away, if you made Alabama and the rest of the SEC play that 9-game schedule, they kept the 8-game schedule, but then they were like, we're just going to move the FCS game 1 week earlier and then make you go on the road to Oklahoma and then have Auburn at home. I don't think Alabama would be looking ahead at Auburn, but it just worries me going into Norman. So I do think, you know, close game. This one, I still haven't really decided on it, but this one I might be leaning towards Oklahoma.
You know, the people are not going to like what I have to say here, but I'm going to favor the team that lives where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. I'm going to go with Oklahoma on this one. As someone who grew up basically in Oklahoma and, like, I know how big of a deal this is to those OU fans. That is going to be a packed stadium, and that is going to be such a hostile environment.
And when they play Toby Keith in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. But bottom line is this, again, much to Adam's point, this is a really, really tough game. And you have to be mentally prepared to play this game. Obviously, OU is kind of coming in with something to prove. First year in the SEC, they want to make a statement, right? They want to one-up Texas.
This is how you do it.
This is how you do it, right? So, you know, and especially if anyone is looking forward to Auburn, which I really hope they're not doing that, okay? Like, that you can't – you everyone has to buy in to that week. We need to focus, and we need to beat Oklahoma. That has to be the mentality of the team at that time.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I'm almost looking forward to this game more than I am the Georgia game, if I'm being honest. Maybe it's just the environment for me. Maybe it's just, you know, growing up in Texas, being around the Big 12. This is gonna be a fantastic game. It's the game I'm looking forward to most all year. I do think Alabama's gonna get it done, but it is gonna be a close one. Potential to be a, you know, last second kind of winner for Alabama. Not that this team hasn't done plenty of that last season, but this is gonna be a good one. And finally, Auburn, Kalen DeBoer's first Iron Bowl here at home. Much better than if it would have been on the road, because crazy things happen in Jordan-Hare. God knows. How are you feeling?
I mean, I think this plays how, you know, it usually plays out. You know, there have been close games. Auburn has one in Tuscaloosa. But usually, at least, you know, the last several years or so, you know, Alabama goes into Jordan-Hare. It's crazy. You need the Bryce Young drive last year. You need 4th and 31. But then whenever it comes back to Tuscaloosa, Alabama usually takes care of business. And, you know, I know Auburn beat up on Alabama A&M, but I just think this is going to be a game, especially if Alabama does lose that game to Oklahoma. I think Alabama comes out and, you know, they put this one away very early.
Yeah. Not worried. What even is a war eagle? Okay, Alabama all the way.
I can't even believe you would say those words in here. That almost feels sacrilegious.
Elliot might not make it back next week.
Guys, I regret to inform you I've been kicked off the air. I'm not allowed
That's
to say
crazy.
Anything else.
Yeah, I'm just going to meet your rank for the rest of the night. Okay, I think that this is going to be absolute destruction. I think Kalen DeBoer, especially, you know, if you're Auburn, you better hope that Oklahoma, that Alabama just rolls Oklahoma the week before, because I think first Iron Bowl, Kalen DeBoer's going to understand how much this game means. This is going to be a destruction.
Last thing I will say, because, you know, I think all of us had at least one loss. I don't know. We got to see how the season plays out. I don't think one loss would move Alabama too far back. But if there is that question of, you know, if they lose this one, they drop out of the top 12 to where they wouldn't make a playoff, you know,
yeah.
DeBoer's going to want to make a statement in that game.
Right. Makes it more
interesting. Well, I mean, I had two losses pinned on the schedule.
Okay, so just to be clear, Elliot, 10-2,
yes.
Oklahoma and Georgia.
I had 11-1 with Oklahoma being the loss.
Okay, for me, 11-1 with Georgia being the loss. Okay, pretty solid. So that would mean SEC championship.
Maybe.
No, it depends on how the chips fall.
How does Ole Miss do?
That's true. I think
Texas
we would
do.
All have them making the playoff.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully.
All right. When we come back here on 90.7 The Capstone, Beef of the Week, it's back. It returns like every other time we do this show. But
I'm so excited for Beef of the Week. I've never been on it.
Hey, you know what? You might be more excited than me, and that's really saying something about Beef of the Week. We'll be right back here on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back into the Low Tide here on 90.7 The Capstone. Final, you know, 10-ish minutes or so. Okay, I lied. In the first segment, I said that I was going to tell you who the youngest football player in NCAA history was. Now I'm going to tell you Amobi Okoye. I got it right. Okay, I was scared I was going to butcher that. Nigerian former professional. He did play in the NFL. He played his college football at Louisville. He chose Louisville over Harvard, and he majored in biology. He played at the age of 16 in all 13 games as a true freshman at defensive tackle, 17 tackles and a sack.
What year was this again, did you say?
This was in...
It's impressive.
Well, he got second-team All-American in 2006, so...
He's got UNC status then. It's an old. That's an old player. Wait, which professional team did he play for?
2003 would have been his first year.
Okay. What professional team?
He played for the... He was drafted by the Texans, Chicago Bears twice, Buccaneers practice squad, the Cowboys, and then the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
CFL reference.
Practice squad member. Couldn't make the team. But shout out. That's crazy. 16 years old? I thought 17 was crazy. And starting in all 13 games.
Yeah, he's just built different, better than me, I guess.
That's pretty wild. Anyway, you know what time it is. It's time for Beef of the Week, our iconic segment that somehow returns more than Roman Reigns. Mr. Elliot Miller.
Oh, like I got to start off.
Yeah, you get to go first.
Okay. You know, I did say I was excited for New Beef guy. Of the Week. And you know what? I lied because I didn't actually have that good of a beef. But I do have a beef. Okay? You know whenever you're like... You're trying to, like, do your homework or something, or you're trying to do something important, right? And then you get, like, these Outlook emails, okay? And you find out it's because somebody replied all to the email string, and then if someone replies all to that reply all, then someone replies all to that, okay? Please, people, understand that you only need to reply to one person. I do not care about your personal backstory whenever you're messaging people. I do not need to read all of that. It blows up my Outlook feed.
If I had a dollar for every time this happened to me in high school, $1 million. It was the funniest thing, like, every time it happened, because the messages that would just start coming back, just absolute gold mine. Yeah, I hate learn to just hit reply people. Is it that difficult?
It's not that hard. I don't think it's that hard. But the things in high school, people are funny, okay? Here, this is people like explaining their like their backstory. They're like, oh well, my dog walked across my computer and they locked me out of my Crimson email and I couldn't get in and I couldn't register for classes. Can somebody help me? Like, I don't care, okay? That's on you. That's your problem.
The whole lore dump. It's tough.
That's it. That's my beef.
I guess I'll go second. So I was having a good weekend, really good into the weekend, a good weekend. We start off on Thursday, soccer, you know, they win 8-2.
Roll Tide.
We get to Friday, I go to volleyball, you know, they win both their games on Friday. Kevin Garnett in attendance, you know, I never thought
Roll
I'd tide. See that. Still don't really know exactly why he was there. I'm hoping like his daughter's getting recruited or something, I don't know. But he was in attendance, it's crazy. We get to Saturday. You know, it starts raining, but it's like, okay, it's the first Alabama football game. It's the first game for Kalen DeBoer. And, you know, we're going through the game. Offense putting up points. Defense is shutting it down. And, you know, the presentation at the stadium, you know, you had a lot of the old hits that we're used to. You had some new stuff that was played out. You know, I thought they did good with, you know, the light shows and everything. But I thought, you know, there was one thing that was missing for some people. They might have been okay with it being missing. I was one of those people. I never want to hear this song again. I don't think it should be played at any Alabama football game for the rest of my life. And I almost made it the entire time. And then as soon as Alabama wins and they play the fight song, they, you know, do you know, the post-game festivities. And then all of a sudden, whoever is working the sound at Bryant-Denny Stadium decides – this is a good time to play Mr. Brightside. And it pissed me off. I was so upset. Like, it was...
Might be a controversial take.
No, actually, you know what? I agree with him.
I mean, I'm not saying that I don't
Can I retweet his beef of the week?
You might be able to retweet his beef of the week. I think you could do that.
No, I'm going to retweet that, too.
You know,
pretty good. I have two beefs, then.
I thought the music was overall much improved.
I did.
I tweeted this out, and the guy... and I think the, like... I don't even know. I'll have to look up. Somebody from the athletics department liked it, who I would assume had a major part in doing that. Good. Overall, very good. But and the lights, always fantastic.
But, like, you made it the whole game. You made it the whole game. You didn't do it. You know, Dixieland Delight might have been a little bit late for that game specifically. But, you know, you made it the whole game. There is no reason to play it after the game is over. One, I don't want it during the game, but then I thought I made it, and then you play that while I'm waiting for the people to clear out of my way so I can get out of the stadium, but I'm stuck there having to listen to this song again. Anyway.
Overplayed. Oh, what can I say?
That's true. Very, very true. Okay, I'm going to do it first. Triple mini beef of the week. Okay, I'm going to try and go a minute apiece. Okay, first one. The food
sounds
court.
Sounds like an order from Whataburger or something.
Don't even get me started on Whataburger. That was my first beef of the week, I think, ever. And it did get fixed. So we're making a difference in the world. First off, food options at the University of Alabama this week, absolutely terrible. I don't know if it's just because first week of school, freshmen, they see all these dining dollars. They don't think it's real money. Unbelievable. You could not. I mean, the lines were actually insane.
Yeah. Retweet.
Like, second day of class, I mean, just
I'm retweeting
pathetic.
It again.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
I
did forget about one thing. I'll let you throw it into the food selection.
Okay. Look, we'll get into that here in a minute. Second, okay. Security at the Alabama football game decided to take my umbrella. Okay, it was like pouring. You know, obviously I've got to have an umbrella. I'm wearing khaki pants, okay? Like, you know, rain khaki pants don't mesh very well. Here's my umbrella. There's a bunch of other people walking in with umbrellas, but specifically my umbrella was taken. Very
Did
tragic.
You get it back?
No. So I lost that umbrella.
I will say security by the student section before going in, they came out and said, "You'll have to take your umbrella back." And I literally just saw somebody throw it on the ground and just walked in.
Look, it was a somewhat decent umbrella. I'm not mad at the person who did it. You know, I should have known before, but it was tragic. So rip my umbrella. Finally, okay. Netflix, the one household thing. This is pure garbage. Okay, so I am in the middle of watching New Amsterdam, okay? I just, like, got started on this new show, whatever, right? I'm enjoying it, right? Okay, I go to watch on my phone, and I've been, you know, keep in mind, I've watched, you know, several seasons before on my phone. All of a sudden, I get this message, this device isn't part of your household for Netflix. I'm like, this is pure garbage. So now you're telling me I've got to get my own Netflix, but get this. It works on my computer, set up to the same Wi-Fi, just not my phone, even if I'm on 5G.
It's because it's a different device.
It's
device detecting.
You know?
Rookie error, honestly. Should have done it on your phone first.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. They're, like, wild, you know, so boo the people at Netflix. I don't know. Maybe they listen to the low
time. Can we get a collective boo for Netflix?
Yeah, I wish I had like a soundboard and I could like
boo.
Hit the buttons. Okay, Adam.
Okay, this was just something. I messaged Nick about it earlier this week. But there is a new food establishment in the University of Alabama Student Center. The food itself, you know, I thought it was pretty good. I still ate there, but they couldn't come up with any other name. It is Low Tide Poke Company. Like, they do the poke bowls.
Hashtag not an ad.
And, you know, I'm just like, did they not run this by the radio station first? You know, we already have the name.
Shameful.
I think we might have to talk to our lawyers and see if we should file a lawsuit. But, you know, I don't think this university is big enough for the two of us.
A complete joke, just in case anybody's wondering. But yeah, 100%. I saw that, you know, to be fair, okay, I don't know the exact lineage here. We definitely had that name before I saw them start popping up as a food truck on campus. Just putting that out there. Does anyone have any last thoughts? Anybody want to rant for like a minute?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Can ESPN stop putting Colorado on my page? Okay, like please, for the love of everything. I mean, I cannot stress enough that beating a mid team by 5 points is not that impressive. Okay, it's just not. Okay, I don't care how many times he shows his watch. I don't care how iced out Shadur is. I don't care how many touchdowns Travis Hunter catches. Okay. You're not winning the Big 12 or whatever, the Big 10, whatever conference you're in now. I don't even care, okay? Because you're not going to win it.
You know, I understand your frustration, but I've seen a lot of people, you know, thinking of the same way, just kind of complaining about seeing Colorado too much. And with this one, you know, rooting for North Dakota State to win that game, and then when Colorado ended up winning it, it was just like, well, you only beat them by this much. And, you know, they completed the Hail Mary. We're tackled at the five. But I didn't really see people complain about the Oregon game or the Michigan game only being up by 10 or UCLA barely winning at Hawaii. I'm just like, you know.
It's just the influx of feed I have, right? Like, I mean, like, I'm not – they're like, oh, yeah, they won. Thumbs up or whatever. But then with Colorado, they're like, oh, my goodness, they beat North Dakota State. Wow, they're really, really good or something. I'm like, okay, all right, let's pump the brakes there, bucko. I don't know what intern out there is doing that, but
– I do think North Dakota State's better than Western Kentucky, though. I will say that.
Same exact thing that happened last year with that win over TCU, over that garbage TCU team. Just putting that out there. Perhaps. To be seen. To be determined.
TBD.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us here on The Low Tide. Don't forget, you can listen to all of our episodes on the new gameday.ua.edu. Nice and updated. Check us out there or on Spotify. We will see you next time. Stay frosty.